Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Sports In Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. Now, I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports In Depth of the show. In the background, we're going to go to our always opening. But in the background, Gospel According to Jazz, Kurt Whelan, a two-part CD that I got a hold of some time back. And Whelan also has a dedication, as you remember, back in the day when me and Dusty were at SLF Radio, the heartbeat of Africa and the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, and wherever you're, okay? My opening theme was First Lord Jesus, played by Kurt Whelan, a song my mother taught me as a youth. And I think I may even have use as a closing. May have Big C down like that for our closing. And I remember she also taught me, away in a manger, no crib for his bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars from heaven looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports In Depth of the show. It's time to say our prayer. As John Coltrane's Dear Lord leads us into homage to the one and only true God. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. We thank you, Lord, for little things we so largely take for granted. We thank you for being our God, dear Lord. We thank you for blessings forthcoming that have come all unmerited, undeserved. We ask you to bless our families, dear Lord. Bless our president. Bless my family here in New York, my family in Virginia, my family in Brazil. The news that I'm still to be grandfather again. Bless my daughter. Bless the family here, which is my family here. At one point, the Lord, let your way be our way. For you are the one only true God. Man once said, dear Lord, although we just live on Park Avenue, by the grace of God, we don't live on a Park Avenue mansion. You may not be everybody's God, but you are the one only true God. Today is your day. Pay homage to you every day. Your way, your day. In the name of your darling son, Jesus, amen. Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Here it is, Larry Hardesty, number one after sportscast in history.
Welcome to Sports In Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
And one of the wonders on the panel here is none other than Mel Coates. Mel Smith Jr. And without further ado, Mel will introduce you and all the Sports In Depth Nation to another episode of Sports In Depth. Ladies and gentlemen, Mel Cosell Smith Jr.
Thank you, good doctor. The Sports In Depth Nation is here. The Sports In Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We're here via the Blake Radio Network. And the straw that stirs the drink is here. And that is Doc Stanley. Take it away, Doc.
Thank you, Rooney.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
And it may sound like a commercial. It may sound like a tape. But that's Rooney doing it only he can as we bring you once again into the Sports In Depth Nation. And real quickly, some updates for you. The Giants won big today after being down for a little while to the Cleveland Browns. And the Jets will be playing tomorrow, so they didn't lose as of yet because there is no game they play. But they'll be playing tomorrow. They'll be playing the Texans.
Let's not be sarcastic.
Well, it's not sarcasm. It's called reality. You know? And we're going to be at that game live tomorrow night. So Sports In Depth will be back on tomorrow live from MetLife Field as the New York Jets will once again take the football field. And before we get into our show tonight, a lot of things happening around the world of sports. Muhammad Ali said one time, you know, in America, sports is religion. The Giants won big today. The Giants came back to beat the Cleveland Browns, one of the arch rivals from way, way, way back. Interesting fact about the Cleveland Browns, I'm going to be involved to you. May give you a small segment of Did You Know? Things you thought you knew that you didn't know, and now you know because I told you so.
Check out Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com. Talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.
Doc Stanley Sports is up on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Soda Channel Sports is up at the show. The crew is here. Browns. Let's see. Let's add this up. Browns. I was told that the Cleveland Browns was named after a very famous, iconic athlete. Browns. Wait a minute. Whoa! The Cleveland Browns were actually named after the one and only, the legendary, the iconic, considered by many still the greatest heavyweight champ of all time, Joe Louis.
Paul Brown
was in agreement with the other owners of a 10-year situation where no black players would be drafted or allowed into the NFL. And Brown said, yeah, okay, no problem. Except Brown said, yeah, okay, but Brown didn't do yeah, okay. And that has been the greatest football team. As you know, Marion Motley was a two-way player. And so many players were in that day. A lot of people don't know that Frank Gifford, you know, was a two-way player. And Frank Gifford first made All-Pro as a defensive back before he made All-Pro as an offensive player. Yeah, the great Frank Gifford, one of the great human beings of our time. Football, we're going to talk about. I think C-Wings has finally got in here with us. And it's been a big day of football. And we'll be right back in just a minute with the panel as we start talking some of everything Yankees and the Baltimore Orioles. That's the way it should be. Texas Rangers got swept. I mean, how do you have to win one game and don't win it, and bam, you get knocked out of the division lead, and now, like everybody else, you're watching the games on television.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Wait for C-Wings to join us. Are you in studio, C-Wings?
C-Wings is in studio. Good evening to our distinguished host, Doc Stanley, and the panel, Dusty Mel Smith.
How we doing, Mr. C-Wings?
Come on,
very well.
You can hear that glee in his voice because it just didn't lose today, but they didn't play today either. So that should be.
Stop being condescending. Support C-Wings.
But I must say, we must congratulate Drew Brees, who surpassed the great Johnny Unitas, who was leading the league with 47 consecutive games with a touchdown pass. Drew Brees surpassed that record tonight. He makes 48 consecutive passes,
48 consecutive games. But you would think that a real good quarterback could throw one touchdown per game. But it just shows you how evidently it's not, because they're the only two guys that do it. Brees, whose team has been horrible lately. And C-Wings, look at how much has the, let's say, the two additional games, the so-called expansion, which has really weakened the overall superiority of the play as expansion, as me and Dusty talked about sometime before, how expansion has really weakened the talent pool in every one of the sports. I mean, can we say that his record really can be held in the same light as Johnny Unitas?
I mean, when you compare the two eras where they played, definitely during the time of Johnny Unitas, that was real gridiron football. You didn't have a lot of these rules that you have today to protect the players. So, I mean, when you compare that, I mean, did he really go through the battles that he had to go through to get that record? That's up for discussion. But, I mean, you really can't take anything away from him. I mean, he's a very good quarterback.
You do play a lot more games now, the addition of the two extra games. But
in fact,
it comes
you know what
down
cut you off? It's actually four extra games because when United started, it was only 12 games.
Yeah,
it was, only 12 games a season. Yeah.
And now you have the six extra, you know. But
cool.
I must say that the record tonight, Drew Brees is an excellent quarterback, and he's not the biggest guy. I mean, I think he stands at 5'10". He's not even 6'4".
Well, I mean, a lot of guys, you know, because see, when you like soft shelling here playing this like you know, like you're running for office with Obama. Hey, Malcolm Sells, who's telling it like it is. Can we look at this in the same light as an era Johnny Unitas, Mel?
No, I have to tell you, Doc, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, like C said, Drew Brees and company, good talents, great talents. But when you go back to the era of Johnny U, I mean, you're talking greatness, Doc. I mean, Johnny U and company. And like you said, it was different, Doc. I mean, these days, man, everything is geared towards the offense. You blow on a guy, they're going to throw a flag for pass interference or some sort of thing. Back in the days, man, you really had to work to get off the line of scrimmage.
You know what, Rooney, I'm seeing Lester Hayes throw around Don Maynard, get up, and continue running. I mean, that's why I came to Melco. So we're not taking anything away from Drew Brees. I remember talking about today's pitching. I was talking to the late PR maven of the Yankees, who was on time with the Mets, Arthur Richmond. He was talking about Willie Mays. Willie Mays is one of the best men in his wedding, and he said he talked to Willie one time, and he asked Willie how would he do today in today's game, and Mays said I'd hit about 420 something, 60 home runs, and 200 RBIs. He said, "Well, it's good. There's no pitching." The guys can't pitch it. And when I take, and the thing, too, I want to say, I wonder how much of this would have been looked at, and I'm not being sardonic, I'm not being sophomoric, I'm just being realistic. I wonder how much of this would have been looked at had this been Warren Moon, had this been Doug Williams, had this been Cam Newton. I think Brees is, like you said, outstanding quarterback. He's not the biggest of guys, but back in those days, I mean, big was 5'10", six. I mean, there weren't that many really solid guys over 220, 220. We want to salute him. Great record, especially in lieu of the fact of how his team is going. Go ahead.
Doc, let me interject something here. You talk about
what took you so long? What took you so long, Dusty?
Because I was waiting for everybody to make a mistake. No. I couldn't resist that. I'm only kidding. I respect all you guys. It's just that. Just so happens that today I'm watching Face the Nation.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about Obama and Ramsey, whatever his name is. Forget his name. But
they all look alike anyway. What the heck, right?
I know, right? But there was a sequence there by Bob Schieffer who had Tommy Lasorda. He had Tony La Russa. Some of them talk about the ball players today, the athletes today. And they said something in relation to the old days as opposed to the modern days. And I said, isn't it ironic that we're talking about the same thing in Sports in Depth, and they're saying the same thing. They zero in on today's pitchers. What's wrong with today's pitchers? Today's pitchers, this is Tommy Lasorda, today's pitchers are kids who are highly paid, and they're not really trained to go past the seventh inning because some idiot injected the pitch count. And that's the way they are trained in the minor leagues. To go in the pitch, there is no pitcher today. It's a miracle if one pitcher today goes the entire nine innings. Are there many pitchers today who could go nine innings? He said no, because they are coming up with the pitch count, and then they've developed the cushion, which is the bullpen. And this is why most of these guys do not get those 20.
Dusty's been a great game. It's the sixth inning. He's got a 3-0 shutout with four hits, but he's up to 89 pitches now. Somebody better get Rooney up.
So we got to take him out.
And
these guys come in, they develop a second career by going into the bullpen, and these guys cannot go nine innings. And it seems like it's a made-in-stone rule to continue to count, and then whether you're doing good, bad, or indifferent. And you,
line drive to right field. That's going to drop. That's only the third hit off Dusty here in the 6 2/3 innings. But here comes Doc. Here comes Doc. He's going to the bullpen. Here comes C-Wings. Here comes C-Wings.
They got to bring him in, and that's it. Is it we don't have it. These guys are highly paid, millionaires. They're living soft, but they don't know the game. Golden word
right,
from Tommy Lasorda. And that's
C-Wing
the way it is.
Gets
like
a fly ball
to
right field. That's the second out. And at the end of seven, it's 3-0. Dusty had to go 6 1/3. Pitched a great ball game. Four hits, 11 strikeouts. C-Wing's in the seventh. Here comes Mel Cosell-Smith.
Yeah.
All I have to say is this, Doc, if I may.
Could Drew Brees compare to those guys before? No, they can't. This is the modern baseball. This is a modern sports now. You can almost relay, say, oh, back in those days, but that's a shutout. That's closed. That's put in a cage and a vault.
Wow.
You got to deal with what's happening now.
Let me say this.
Go ahead,
let me just make this point. Doc,
come on, Rudy.
Let Bob Gibson be up 2-0 in the seventh inning, okay? Let Bob Gibson be up. Have his pitch count be, say, 95 pitches. Have him be up 2-0. Have him be up 2-0 in the seventh. And tell him, you be the manager, and you go out to the mound and tell him that Bob, I'm taking you out. Go ahead, do that.
Go ahead, Rooney.
You
people across the world, this is why these people are here. To others, I am somebody. I mean, they told the story of Solly Hamus coming out to talk to Bob Gibson. Gibson's pitching a game, give him a couple of hits, and the pitching coach, Solly Hamus, is coming out to speech to him in a coat. And Gibson told him, if you take another step, I'll kill you.
You know, Spice,
I mean, you even look today across all aspects of sports, football, baseball, even boxing.
Yeah.
You had the boxing back then on 15 rounds.
Yeah.
15 rounds. Then you had the bare knuckle boxes back in the early 1900s.
Back in the days, when Dusty
was a kid. Couldn't do that. You could. Boxers nowadays couldn't do that.
Not today. Today, 15 rounds is taboo. They don't even want to say 15.
Two things here. Everybody, this come Tuesday, the big car, Brooklyn, brings boxing back. That's going to be happening here. The 20th of this month, the Golden Boy is bringing boxing back for over 60 years. World Championship Boxing Company in New York this Tuesday at the legendary Gleason's Gym, which was once in the Bronx and went to Manhattan and now is in Brooklyn. Some of the fighters will be there. But that's the
open workout.
Corey Williams. Can we talk about that for a minute?
Corey Williams? Corey Sanders. Well, that's a heavyweight I'm glad we talked about this afternoon. Corey Sanders, if he had been fighting today, would have been the heavyweight champ of the world, bar none. Because he's not the only one, but he's the most formidable dude who almost destroyed the Klitschko brothers single-handedly. He took Vladimir Klitschko and sent him to school in 2 rounds. He fought and took away his WBO title or whatever the heck it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then he fights the brother. The brother was out for revenge because his kid brother got walloped by this guy. Let me tell you something. If Corey Sanders had not run out of gas in the 11th round, he would have beaten the two Klitschko brothers. He dropped Vitaly Klitschko somewhere around the 7th or 8th round. But he ran out of gas, and the referee stopped the fight after the 11th round. But this guy, unfortunately, what I'm leading up to, was shot to death in his Pretoria, in his hometown of South Africa. The most insignificant.
Really?
Was
it a robbery or something, Dusty?
Exactly. He went into a restaurant with his family to celebrate a relative's birthday. This, that, and the other. 3 mutts came in, and they shot up the place at random, and the random bullets got him, in one in his groin and one in his arm. They were able to get him to the hospital, but he died in the hospital. Here's a man who had a boxing record, I mean, unbelievable, of 42-4 with 31 knockouts, and he was a southpaw. And this guy was fast. I saw him fight other fights besides the Klitschko victims, and the guy was very fast. fast, good, sharp, evasive. And in fact, he knocked out Hasim Rahman. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He had a fight with Hasim Rahman and broke his hand on Hasim Rahman's hand. So they had to, I shouldn't be laughing, but they had to stop the fight because he broke his hand on Hasim Rahman's head. But the guy was a good fighter, good heavyweight. He retired, you know, and he was still young, 42 years of age.
Made a little money. It's always sad. Yeah. Doc Stanley Sports Up on the Black Rainbow, so to tell, Sports Up the show. They're here. Mel Cosell Smith Jr., Destino Baby Lewis Jr., and the football guru, Cincinnati Sea Wings. Lady A is on assignment. Nate B, baseball. We've lost Nate ever since the Baltimore Orioles, and he got back into the pennant race with the Yankees. He's out on assignment. Harold Weston Jr. is either en route to Florida putting some boxing cards together. We're looking for my man Muscle to give us a call. He wanted to join us back here again, and Mike. So we'll get some other calls. Danny Skiles should possibly be joining us, as well as other surprise calls. But the hub is here. Destino Baby Lewis Jr., Mel Cosell Jr., and the Sea Wings. You know, it's always sad. And so I remember speaking to kids in school. I said, you know, there's no excuse for black-on-black crime. You know, there's no Jewish person coming from Williamsburg. There's no Italian guy coming from Howard Beach. There's no Latin guy coming to Spanish Island. No, black-on-black crime is us against us. And it's sad when you hear a situation like this, even if you're robbing the place. I mean, you know, it's guys who are going to rob a place, and now they're going to turn around and start raping the women. And, you know, it's sad and touching to hear that, you know, you're slain in a situation by anybody. One of the things I said, I think one of my great doctrines, you know, it's amazing how man has nothing to do with life, and his first instinct is always to take it away. Dad, this guy owed me some money. I'm going to kill him. Dad, this guy talked to my woman. I'm going to kill him. She's going to leave me. It's just simply amazing. Man has nothing to do with life, and he has no problem instantaneously and unabridably just taking it away.
Just walk into a place, a business,
no problem.
And we need some party money. So let's go in there and clean out the place.
And
Doc, finish this up. And you know what they got away with?
What, Dusty?
You're not going to believe it. A cell phone and a woman's pocketbook. That's all. And it caused this man his life who could have been killed in the ring because he was a tremendous fighter. And he was just celebrating with his family, and he gets blown away for a cell phone and a pocketbook.
And, you know, we look at just the Vernon Forrest situation, you know,
where... Oh, my Lord in heaven,
well,
yeah.
I mean, the whole thing with Vernon happened was in just a situation of him pulling up there with his stepson. His stepson goes into the store, and we're talking about him going into the store to buy something, and in that span of time, he comes out. And his father,
absolutely, absolutely finds him shot to death, and you know, for no mutts who just want to, you know, it's a horrific situation worldwide. But if you're going to centralize it and localize it, we're in danger everywhere we go, and sometimes even a home invasion, man.
In a lot of cases now. As a lot of people know, Dusty is retired New York City fire lieutenant, one of the top. In fact, he was a model, too. He's a magazine. I said, what kind of work is he doing? At least he wasn't sleeping like the rest of the guys. He's in magazines and stuff. And we also have Lady A and the Sea Wings are also people in the civil service and vacation. I'm retired police officer there, too. And it seems that now, in today's society, we are in more danger as a civilian. Then we understood as police officers, we understood as firemen that we were putting our life on the line every day. And it seems that I remember Rufino Ofau, tremendous story, Puerto Rican guy, but his name was Rufino Ofau. My first job, working at MHC, Manufacturing Hanover Bank, and there was a time where, back in the 60s, where people were asking for cigarettes. If you didn't give them a cigarette, you know, they would, like, you know, rob you or hit you or something. So Rufino said he started carrying around him a pack of filtered and non-figured cigarettes. Whoever asked him, he would have it. Yeah, well, what do you smoke?
It sounds funny, though, but it's sad.
But it's funny. And you know what was funny about the C-Wings with that and Mel? His name was Rufino O'Farrell. So they looked at his name one day, and they called him in for his interview for a promotion. So he comes in, and he sits down, and they look at this guy, stone cold Hispanic, and they say, well, excuse me, what's your name? He said, I'm Rufino O'Farrell. He said, you're Rufino O'Farrell? hey, we'll get back to you. You know what I mean?
And you know the rest. We'll get back
to you. Let's go through the football scores today. Eagles is something that we've got to look at. I mean, INTs are one thing, but Michael Vick has fumbled the football too much. Give us a rundown. Yeah. Big game in Pittsburgh, which your man, the Hoopster, will be happy about. Got to get him. I mean, okay, give us a score. Vick fumbles. Pittsburgh wins 16-14. Give us a rundown of today's football score, Z-Wing.
16-14.
Wow.
Pittsburgh Steelers pulled it off, and what was a sloppy win. You had Michael Vick. He lost two fumbles. One was right in the red zone. It was about to run in. He fumbled at the second or third yard line, went right into the end zone, and was picked up by the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he took another fumble while trying to rush. You're going to have problems. I mean, they were 3-1. Now they're 3-2. I remember when I covered the Jets-Eagles preseason game, the owner of the Eagles gave a state of the team address 2 hours before the start of the game, and he made an adamant that 8-8 is unacceptable. So
wow.
I wouldn't be surprised if you don't see Michael Vick benched for the backup quarterback, which I don't see that being any better. But with Michael Vick, he seems to have a problem throwing the INTs and fumbling the ball. I mean, it's very mind-boggling what's going on here with Michael Vick. I don't know if it was the rust from him going to jail and he just never recaptured his, what do they say when it comes to his cujo?
I don't think that, you made a good point about the incarceration, but I can't blame it on the incarceration. This is fundamental football. Go ahead, Dusty.
Well, the reason why I wanted to just slick in here is because what makes him play the Giants so tough? Last week, I mean, this guy was running all over the place, blah, 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 all of a sudden, and then he falls under the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he's fumbling,
he matches
he's dropping.
He matches up well against them, Doug.
It just doesn't make
sense.
I mean,
he always plays them close. They can never stop him on the run. He always burns them towards the end of the game.
So what do we have to do here? Do we have to give him gloves with glue on it? I mean, the thing here is, I wonder how many fumbles he has, and he always fumbles at it. I mean, there's no apropos. Dusty, C-Wings, Rooney. There's no apropos time to fumble, okay? But I mean, I got to think here too. That maybe he's not 100%. And I've noticed Andy Reid in the notes that we got from the Giants leading up to this game. He's sounding like Rex Reed with the Sanchez move. This is my starting quarterback. Today was a if they're 4-1 today, beating the Pittsburgh Steelers, I mean, they're sitting in the catbird seat in that division. They've still got to play the Giants again. They've already beaten the Giants.
Yeah.
Okay, we know Dallas is beatable anytime you play them. I mean, now, two things you tell me, too. Now, down in Washington, have we lost the quarterback? What's happening down there?
RG3 took a nasty hit. I mean, he went charging with the ball, which I think he should have just ran out of bounds. I don't think the risk of going for that one extra yard. And
exactly.
He took a tremendous hit, which caused him to receive, I think it was 3 stitches on the right side of his mouth. He has a minor concussion. He may be even questionable for next week's game.
Did you see the hit, C-Wings?
Oh, did I? I mean, that was a hit, and he slid feet first, but, you know, the player he couldn't stop. I mean, it was not an intentional hit or an illegal
hit. Was there
a
penalty on that?
No,
hey, can I make a quick comment about that? Just quick, I got to say this, see, especially to you, because I know you know you cover a lot of the games, and Dusty, to you and Dusty too. Okay, mm-hmm. I keep trying to say, I don't care how much athletic ability you have, this is not the league to be running around back there at the QB spot. I don't care how elusive you are. I don't care how strong you are. This is not the league for God to be running around back there. Sooner or later, somebody's going to get the message.
Well, but you have to understand, too, that if the quarterback is his receivers are all blocked, and he has 2 or 3 yards that he can scramble for and slam, I mean, this probably was very accidental, not intentional.
Dusty, you had a tremendous point. It's a catch-22. It's a catch-22.
Exactly. You're right, Doc.
He sees the thing of, if I get just one more yard, I got the first down.
Absolutely.
And things happen so quick. My only thing with this, I always say, is the viciousness of which these hits are applied.
Okay.
And this was something that I saw earlier. You know, I mean, I think a penalty should have been thrown on the guy anyway, because you have to understand – when you see the quarterback, there are things you can't do. Now, Johnny Unitas, and you brought this point up too, Dustin, I really have to stop this agreement, which I've been saying this for 2 years, but I'm not doing it. But no, as you guys know, it's true. I mean, these things that you can't do certain things to the players today, and which everybody here grew with the Drew Brees thing. And Johnny Unitas said something years ago, way before he passed. He said, you know, the way they protect, Johnny Unitas said, the way they protect today's quarterbacks, okay, right, they might as well have skirts on.
Exactly. Because I go back to the days of Y.A. Tittle.
Where don't you go back to, Dusty? We're talking Kane Abel here, baby. Cut it out. Cut it out.
They went into that championship game, and Y.A. Tittle was all but mugged, man.
Oh, yeah,
he was busted up. Chicago Bears. Destroyed. I mean,
1963.
He should have called NYPD for protection, because this man was battered.
Billy Wade and then Chicago Bears beat the Giants.
I'm telling you, man. And Chicago Bears was known for that, man. But that's the name of the game. My fear is that here, this young kid, his rookie year, and man, he took a hit. Is he going to recover from that? How is he going to get back into the field knowing, man, this is the big leagues. This is not college anymore. And this is not the Heisman Trophy or high school. This is where it's at. And I signed for, what was it, 4 or 5 years with a nice bonus? Is it worth it? Now his mind is saying, uh-oh, what did you get into, kid? This is what I'm afraid of.
I think I think we overlook, too, is that these guys love to play this game. And they know only how to play it one way. And, you know, it's what you just said. Is this a situation that he saw the opening, but it's what Sebring said, and it's what Rooney said. Hey, man, forget what you see. See that sideline so you can see again.
Exactly.
The bottom line. You know, forget what you see. Get out the, you know, it's like crossing the street. You know, my theory has always been, if there's a car, let the car go first. Because now if the car's past you, it can't hit you. You know what I mean? So you have to, because you never know. A lot of people will go, you know, I got the right of way. Right.
And like the
old commercial back in the day, remember highway patrol officers walking along, and you see this, where this accident happened about, and he ends the commercial and said, this guy was right. He was dead right. You know, because you have the right of way, that doesn't mean that guy all of a sudden doesn't have a heart attack, mean the guy all of a sudden doesn't have convulsions, doesn't mean the guy doesn't see, especially at night. I'm amazed at how people can walk around at night thinking that the guy can see them as good as he can see in the daytime.
Especially
but the thing is,
wearing black clothing.
Yeah. You know, what do you mean? He didn't see me. You're in all black. There's no lights on the block. He's about a black car, and he got a hood on. He was supposed to say, hey, he's not Superman. It ain't Dusty driving that car. Get out the way, kid.
I mean, you have to look at the players now. I mean, the number of players over 300 pounds in today's NFL is ridiculous.
Let me tell you what I saw last week, okay? Last week, week before last, whenever. They had a guy, I wish I could remember his name, knowing you, so you probably know him anyway. But he was on the defensive line, Doc. And I think they listed this guy at like 6'5", 6'6", 350 pounds.
Wow.
And that this guy was coming across the line so quickly, that was fascinating to watch, Doc. It was fascinating about the speed of which a guy 6'5", 350 could move.
And you know what? You have to understand that fast. Now it enhances his power. I mean, the man's not a man; he's a mammal. He's a mammal.
He's a mammal.
He's a mammal. I mean, but
he's a Gilbert Brown when you know Gilbert Brown was topping from the Green Bay Packers. I mean, the guy was huge, but he wasn't conditioned. He would be in a play, maybe one or two plays, and then they would pull him out. But these guys nowadays, they run in 4.25 40s.
Absolutely.
These guys are like 320 pounds of muscle, and they're coming at you like a runaway train.
Make that an on-site nuclear jet, runaway train. That's frightening. 360?
But did you guys read the article maybe 15, 20 years ago that they began to question the collegiate and pro football recruiting policies where all they found was mastodons, man, elephants, rhinoceros from the age, stone ages. They went to the Samoan Islands and they got all the big freaking dudes, man. The bigger you were, the more you were liable to be drafted, especially if you played football. They built you up. They encouraged you to bring you into a defensive line and an offensive line. This is what the policy was. This is why you see a guy like Jim Brown, a tremendous guy. But look at a Jim Brown of today, 6'6", 340, 540,
Dusty, again, I'm getting tired of agreeing, which I would like you to go up Roscoe right about now till next Thursday, next month.
Roscoe just had his walk, and it's raining outside, and I sure as hell ain't going out there.
Well, you know what? I'm going to say something. You're saying something to me. I remember Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake with the Rainbow, so the channel Sports Network the show, they're here. It's a Sunday. And if it's Sunday, about this time, you're in Sports and Devs. Wrap up weekly wrap with Doc Stanley and the Posse. Lady A is on assignment, as is Nate B. Baseball and the host of a whole bunch of baseball stuff. We talk about Dusty Baker, Cincinnati Reds with a big win over his former team, the Giants. I remember talking to Mickey Mantle, the great Mickey Mantle, three-time MVP winner, Triple Crown winner. As of to date, I believe Mickey Mantle is the only switch hitter ever to win a Triple Crown. And we were talking, and Mantle told me, he said, you know, in my day, I was a big guy. He said, today, against Caseco and Maguire, I ain't a big guy. You know what I mean? And the big thing about this whole thing, Rooney, and then we're going to do a quick break, is that as big as these guys are, as athletically supposedly superior they are, as more conditioned, you know, the big thing that always sticks out, And Dusty talked about it earlier about the pitching. I remember Jim Catrich Hunter told me, and all these things just by the grace of God that I was just so blessed to be around these guys and have you guys on this panel. And Catrich told me something I'll never forget, man. And he said, you know, the guys that were in the bullpen in his day, he said they didn't want him in the game in the first place. You know what I mean? and you look at you know, the pitch count, and you look as a guy, if a guy pitches five complete games for a whole year, he's outstanding. And that was just what Gibson and Marichal and Koufax and Drysdale and Maloney and Spahn and Ford did. I mean, but you know, and the big thing about these guys today is that they all this conditioning and all this new influx of material and mechanics. The big thing, Rooney, and I'll let you talk. We're going to go to commercial. Is that they still just do not fundamentally know how to play the game, Rooney.
You're right, Doc. And that's the thing. When we come back, I'm going to tell a very brief, you know I had to get this in, a very brief wrestling story concerning...
Let me hear you do the commercial. I know it's going to take some time. You know what, man? I'm going to tell you something. You know, you people across the world with Hyder Rosie, this is just, it gets no better than this from a sports. You know, you're hearing guys who are experts, who know their stuff. Yeah, Dusty, who was a championship fighter, Sea Wings, there is no better football mind in the world. Hold on. And also Rooney, who was a WF star. Everybody, hold on, we can't go. Okay, Rooney, big day in football, two areas of players, Project Prayers. Yeah, we're talking about you. Black car, he was in condition, he's outstanding. Okay, again, everybody say hi to Rosie.
Hola, Rosie.
You know what, we can't say enough about this lady, and we want to thank all the other people out there who listen in, who don't talk, emails, but you know, you have no idea what you mean to us. And I put a thing, I'm doing some famous sayings, and I remember three of them. Ollie, service to others is rent you pay for your room here on earth. And Dr. King, life's most persistent, urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Clemente said, you know, anytime you have a chance to help somebody and you don't do it, then you're just wasting your time here on earth. Okay, Rosie, everybody say hello to you. We'll be right back. We've got a little quick commercial break, and the gang will be right back in-house. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel. Sports and Death is the show.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports Network, the show. Those of you who thought Dusty would leave, he's still here. He didn't go. He's not going to walk Roscoe. He's not lying. He's not going to leave. So that. As always, we say hi to our beloved Rosie. And as you know, I was looking at a big piece I did, you know, on my blog. And at this time, too, DocStanleySports.com. I want to thank Big C, who made some additions on my blog. You know, the sunny here to see us. And on my blog, Doc Stanley Sports in Depth, Doc Stanley Sports in Depth, blogspot.com. Did a big piece on the great Pelé, Edson, the Santo de Nascimento. And you know, the thing about Pelé, what a lot of people don't realize, is that he's named after Thomas Edison. His name is Edison, but they took the I out. But he's actually named after the inventor, Thomas Edison. But they took the I out, so instead of E-D-I-S-O-N, it's E-D-S-O-N. And, okay, everybody, say goodnight to Rosie. She's got to go to bed. Everybody say Rosie goodnight.
Good night, Rosie.
She's going to leave. She's got to go to bed. She said, saying goodnight to her, throwing her a kiss. And, you know, the thing about Pelé, too, the name Pelé is a nickname that the kids started calling him in school as he started playing, because what happened, there was a local player who he sort of idolized and he liked, and he inadvertently pronounced the guy's name erroneously to a certain degree, so they started calling him Pelé. The legend is just amazing. You know, the last game he played here, Santos played against the Cosmos, and what they did is he scored a goal for both sides as he played the first half with the Cosmos and the second half with Santos. And it's just, if you go on the blog, I did a piece on him, greatest football player of all times, one of the, probably, if you do it in sevens, and I don't know if that many, universally, you know, I think him and Ali are the only two universally, internationally known, all of maybe Babe Ruth. I mean, they talked about back in the world of his screw Babe Ruth. But, I mean, it's just simply amazing, the story. And like I said, if you go on my blog, Doc Stanley Sports in Depth, blogspot.com.br from Brazil. I just learned so much more about him. He was number 10 was retired. He and the guy said the reason why, and it's what a lot about what we're talking about today, is that why he's the greatest. Because he played in the era where the best football players played. He played in Brazil where the best football players of that era played. He played against the very best competition. Okay, and when Brazil had the greatest players, they still have the greatest players, but even when the Brazilian teams were superior to all of the teams in the world, even the European teams, and like Vin Scully once told me that Willie Mays would have been a great baseball player at any position he played. And it was said, too, that Pelé could have played every position on the football field, and he played on a field at a time where it was difficult to score goals. The guy was saying today's football fields are more like golf courses and pool tables. You know, they're so slick and they're so fast. But I got a chance to meet him. You know, I've been blessed to meet, I think, the greatest athletes of the 20th century, all African-American-wise. And Pelé is one of them. Ollie's another. And with that, let me stop talking. We said goodnight to Rosie. We're going to go now to the man who did some. You got a WWF story for us, Winnie. Let's have it, baby. That's why you're here.
Very brief one, Doc. No, this goes into what you were saying about the athletes these days being bigger, stronger, faster, more powerful, what have you. However, like you said, their knowledge of the game doesn't always seem to be, their knowledge of the game and sports intuition doesn't seem to be what the old-timers was. I mean, for instance, you take your baseball, Doc, bigger, stronger, faster guys can hit the ball of 500 feet, but I've never seen so many guys striking out so many times, you know, in the various leagues.
Rooney, and that was the thing, even the Little League, no, you didn't want to strike out. And you go back into the days when Dusty was playing with Babe Ruth and Ty Cobb. You did simple things like you would choke up on the bat not to strike out. And that's what Chris Chandler told me, that he wished so many people did, like Barry Bonds choked up on the bat. I mean, you didn't hold the bat down to the end. If the bat was too heavy, you choked up on the bat.
Exactly. You got a better bat swing.
Yeah.
And control.
And what you're saying, Rooney, is just so. Rooney, go ahead, finish the story, Rooney.
No, Doc. So that's what obviously what you're saying is, true. I think the old timers may not have been as big, may not have been as strong, may not have been as physically gifted, but they had an overall better understanding of the game. Mm-hmm. If we're going to talk about baseball, better understanding of the pitch count, better understanding of going opposite fields. They were winners. They did what they had to win. As for this quick wrestling story, I remember talking to the great, now late, Captain Lou Albano, manager of Champions.
Rooney, that's the Captain Lou Albano that me and Demony met, right?
Indeed, the same Captain Lou, Doc, yeah.
Yeah,
Lou Albano. I got an autographed picture of her, Demony, when she was younger. He's kissing her. He told me, man, with a beautiful little girl. Go ahead, Rooney. Thanks a lot, Rooney.
Yeah, Doc, the same captain. Good job by you remembering that. He told me, Doc, that one time, they were all young wrestlers, by the way, young wrestlers. He was a great, and I mean great, Walter Killer Kowalski.
Wow.
Were working out in the gym, lifting some weights. Who walks in, but again, the great, and I mean great, Bruno Sammartino walks in.
Spain.
Hey, I'm not. Yeah, I kid you not, Doug. I know Albano told me this story personally. Oh, one moment. Excuse me. So they're lifting weights, Albano and Kowalski. Bruno walks in. So he says, hey, Albano, what's the world record? Albano says at the time was like 5'10", which by the way, I believe at the time was held by the Russian strongman, Vasily Alexia,
which is about 5'10 or so. So, you know, Beto said, Bruno, I think it's about 5'10. Why? Now, listen to this. He says Albano, without saying a word, puts 5'20 on the bench, does one rep, throws it down with disdain, and walks out. That he also went on, Doc, thus and see. Later on, he went on, and I seen this famous picture, so no one's just telling me that I saw this famous picture of him being the only man in the history of pro wrestling lifting the 601-pound, 6'3" or so haystack
Calhoun
up on the surface in the middle of Madison Calhoun. Square Garden.
Yeah, well, it's a countdown. Because
no, I was going to say that that picture went around the world. The only guy
around the world.
Only man.
You know, you speak. Good, Woody.
No, I'll finish up that. At the time and forever, he was the only man who had ever come close to lifting this guy. All 601 pounds on his back, the great Bruno Sammartino.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Ruiz, is he still alive, Bruno?
Oh, yes, he is, Doc. Yes.
Bruno, I remember watching wrestling on Friday nights.
I
would come on Fridays.
Passed away. No.
Huh?
No. I thought so.
Haystack is no longer with us, but Bruno is, I believe, yes.
Oh, Bruno's still around.
Ladies and gentlemen, the latest on the WWF right there, Mel Cosell Smith Jr. When Cosell starts the wrestling stuff, he's Little Coco Gang, Little Coco. And a big wrestling fan, C-Wings, quit sitting over there. I know you're chopping it, because you're a big wrestling fan too, C-Wings. Come on, let it out. Come out the closet.
Oh, big time. I mean, when I heard him mention Haystacks Calhoun, that goes back to the days of the late, great Gorilla Monsoon.
Gorilla Monsoon, yeah, Don.
Mistakenly, he didn't seem to be as big as he was. That was a big Gorilla Monsoon was a big, big guy.
Well, I saw him work at the Garden a few times.
Andre the Giant,
and they listed Gorilla at about 6'4", 6'5", maybe 6'6", a little over the 400-pound mark, right around 400 or so.
I can't believe. I mean, he was so big. There was a match, I think, in 1978 when he boxed Andre the Giant. And,
you're right. Yeah,
Andre the Giant.
Right. And he wasn't that much smaller, too. It appears to be than Andre the Giant. I mean, he was one.
Well, hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not the WWF special. Austin the Sports Staff. And now we will go back to C-Wings. Go ahead, C-Wings.
but I must say, and we talked about the conditioning and the wrestlers, but there's one thing a lot of times, and we talk about this all the time when we talk about the wrestling sport, professional wrestling, they happen to have the shortest lifespan of professional athletes.
Wow. Very short.
Well,
the combination of travel and a lot of the guys, I remember seeing, I told this story before, and Doc will remember it. But see, I remember talking to one of the old timers, and I was ribbing him, C-Wing, and I said, hey, man, hey, you guys are taking two painkillers by their M&Ms around here. What the hell's going on? And he said, well, hey, my man, there's a lot of pain to kill. And I got to tell you, see, true words were never spoken. You know, I have a whole new respect for what those guys do, see. I have a whole new respect. Because, you know, before I got into that myself, I thought what they did was sort of like the spaghetti westerns. Sort of like the spaghetti westerns. I mean that sincerely, Doc and Dusty. I thought it was like, you know, you guys fight around and throw the chairs and you drag the guy across the bar counter. And man, I have a whole new respect. But what people don't realize about that, Doc, C, and Dusty, 50% of that is more serious and more painful than anyone who hasn't been in the ring would ever really have the right to know.
Yeah,
it's brutal what you put your body through. It's absolutely brutal. And Doc, I have to say that I always like to use this analogy. You know, in Hollywood, they say when you become a star, your life is no longer your own. You belong to the public now. Well, they would make that same analogy in wrestling, only it was
You know, if you're going to become a star in this business, your body is no longer your own because the sacrifices that you have to make with it and put it out there and the pain that you'll put it through, much
injuries,
like both football stars, will never be the same. I have all the respect for what they do.
Wow.
I've read stories where in wrestling magazines, of course, I used to take my kids to the wrestling shows, so I'm sort of up on it because they were all wrestling fans when they were smaller, so of course, good old daddy had to take them, plus the neighborhood kids, maybe five or six kids to go see wrestling. But what I'm saying is that I read some, and then of course I got into it, I started reading, where there were guys that almost, and I'm not exaggerating, almost every bone in their body had one time or another have been fractured or broken. And
yeah,
they were,
Foley,
and,
mankind.
And, and I'm saying, how the hell can they continue wrestling if their skeletal fortitude is busted? But that's the life.
I love that line that Rooney says, man, there's a lot of pain to kill.
Yeah, there's a lot of pain to kill.
I can really,
I'm telling
you,
like, imagine all the broken bones and, I mean, you know, and then have to heal fast because in the next town you got another shot. And then
Dusty, you bring up a good point. With all that rapid healing, because people understand that's the real essence, the real forte, the real ingredient to what steroids is about is the recuperation of the body at an expedient amount of time beyond the normalcy. And real quick, let's take our hats off. How's the Yankee game going, Dusty?
Well, the last time I saw it was 2-2, and the Yankees could have gone ahead, but that stupid Teixeira couldn't even run. My dog can run faster than him.
Dusty, I need the score, not a synopsis right now.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I may
want to get credentials for the Yankees next year. Calm down.
As far as from the last time I saw it was 2-2.
Hold on, man. What I got to do, you know, No, go ahead, Dusty. I just want to do something.
But the last time I saw it was 2-2, but they were slapping CeCe around, but, I mean, CeCe didn't look too sharp. I mean, let me tell you something. Right now, the dark horse in this whole thing scenario is Baltimore Orioles. Got Buck Showalter.
Hold on. I got to protect myself. Hold on.
Protect yourself.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for.
Okay, Dusty, continue. I'm safe now. I'm protected.
Look,
I'm safe now.
As long as I'm not using profanity.
Those of you who understand English, this is the Doc Stanley Show. Those who don't understand English, we're coming from St. Louis, Missouri, the Greg Wilson after.
Dusty.
Yes. But he's still the city alone.
This is the Dusty Rose. But what I'm saying is that they were slapping CC around. The dark horse is the Baltimore. Showalter trained these guys, the Yankees, many years ago, made them respectable. Now he took this ragtag Baltimore Orioles that were almost the floor mat of the National American League, and now they made them formidable. If it hadn't been for a few games here, a few games there, Baltimore would have won the East Division instead of the Yankees. But now is redemption time, and I think the dark horse is going to be Baltimore. But it right now, like I said, it was 2-2. But they were slapping CC around, so I don't know what the score is.
What I love about you, Dusty, is slapping around is apropos for anything. You know, it was in the third round, he was slapping him around. He was throwing a good shot, he got slapped around. He shot a jump shot from the top of the key, and the defensive, they were slapping him. You know, your slapping around is I love it, baby. It's universal. You can use it for boxing, baseball, track. He had the lead in the meeting. Then he got slapped around the last second. The guy, I love it. You know, his slapping around just works for every. What I want to say too is we want to once again salute my good friend Dusty Baker, big game they won last night against his old team, the Giants. You know, and I'm only a Giants fan still because of Willie Mays and Bonds, and you feel so good for Dusty. One of only, I think him and Buck Showalter only managers to lead three different teams to the division playoffs, the title games. He's the only African American manager to win MVP. I mean, manager of the year three times. He's the second African American manager to lead his team into the World Series, and just a great guy and a dear friend. I thought he had left him. He's left Puncho behind him. But ladies and gentlemen, back again. The Cisco Kid is with us, baby.
What's up, baby? What's up?
Hey, what's going on? What's going on,
Francisco?
What's
going on, Cicillo? What's going on, Doc?
What's happening? Same old, same old.
Cisco Kid, we got Sea Wings, we got the Melkus of Smith. So now we're going to talk a little boxing for a while. We talked about the Corey Sanders situation. We've got the card coming in. We talked about this too, Cisco. We want you to kick it first. It looks like we're not going to see Pacquiao Mayweather.
Well, no, it's not going to happen because. Oh no, is it Francisco or myself? Go ahead, Rich.
There's so many things, so many intangibles in this fight that keeps it from happening. Whether Floyd said he was using steroids or he's getting sued for that and they dropped that. Pacquiao doesn't want to take less money, but now he's saying he is. Floyd, wants to take the bigger piece of the pie, so he's not standing still. So many things that are not making this fight. I kind of question both fighters. I think that both fighters don't want the fight to happen because they both want this fight as badly as they did, or to say they do. I think this fight would have been made no matter what. You never saw Ali arguing with Joe Frazier how much money he's going to get. You know what I mean? You never saw those things really happening in the sport of boxing in the past.
Hold on, Cisco. You make up a point that's so apropos because Larry Holmes, in two major fights, when he was the champion, took less money. He took less money to fight Cooney, and he took less money to fight Ali, which violates your point.
Exactly. And you know what? You're still making $20 million, $20, $30 million or whatever. How much more do you need? I mean, to argue that you need the bigger piece of the pie. And Floyd and Pacquiao are going to make money, hand and foot. There's no reason for these guys to even argue about how much more, $2 or $3 million or $10 million? Are these guys really fighting for the prize? Is this really prize fighting, or this is about money,
Let me just make a quick statement, okay? I want to be the first to say this, Doc, really quickly, okay? It is my opinion. Don't get me wrong, the fight would still sell. If they were to ever make it, it would still sell. Fight loss is nothing, Doc. The fight loss is nothing.
Going back to what your man said, Rooney, the great Ray Charles Leonard, who beat every great fighter ever. Never forget it. The night that Frankie the Surgeon Randall beat Julio Cesar Chavez for the first time, and two things happened that night that were just really outstanding. Number two, Chavez, after the fight. And he says, you know what, when they talked about him losing, he said, hey, he looked at Ray Leonard, he said, if the great Ray Leonard can lose and the great Muhammad Ali can lose, who is Julio Cesar Chavez? Love his humbleness. And Ray Leonard had said something to me and the first African-American president of the boxing writers. He said something, I never forget him saying, he said, there comes a time, which is, again, dovetailing, as Marion Boykin would say, Marion B. Boykin, greatest boxing show in history of mankind, Boykin on Boxing, and B stands for Black Bodacious Brilliant Brother. Marion Boykin said, and it's what Ray Leonard said that night, Cisco, so good to have you again. He said, there comes a time, I'll say it twice, okay, there comes a time where it ain't about the money, but about being the champ.
And I still totally disagree.
It's true. I told Doc when it comes to pro sports, it's always about the money. But you agree to disagree on that.
I got this. But there comes a time, though. What I'm saying here, if I know I can beat you, and this is what Cisco's saying. If I know I can, Dusty, maybe maybe it's time to get Roscoe again.
Can I intervene for a second? I just got one thing to say.
If you look at Ali, okay,
you think he did? He boxed for the money. Look at it. Look at challenges that he took that he didn't need to take. This guy fought until he had pretty much nothing left in his career. This guy loved boxing. He loved to challenge himself. He loved the adoration. He loved everything about the fight game. If you talk about Floyd Mayweather, they don't fit in the same shoes because Floyd doesn't really love the game. He loves the money. Ali loved the boxing game. He was the man who loved boxing, and he fought everybody.
You guys are all right, but then you got to listen to some few psychological forensic ideas.
Here we go. I need another 45 minutes.
Yo, did you say forensic, yo? I swear to God, you're watching too much CSI.
No, it's not CSI. It's knowing what you're saying. Number one, when this fight was first proposed 3 or 4 years ago, just like Ali and Frazier, the offer was a parity offer for both, $40 million apiece. So there was no quibble, and that was the highest purse offered to any fighters of any weight level. Okay? All stops were go. All of a sudden, this guy comes up with the USADA, and there's a delay to the present time. Now, what you don't seem to understand is he says, I'm the money man, and if you want to fight me, I pay you. No, you don't tell me after I've achieved what I've achieved, 8 straight consecutive titles. I'm the modern-day Henry Armstrong. I'm the fight of the decade, not you. Are you going to pay me some change?
Do not utter that guy's name in the same breath with Henry Armstrong. Dusty, listen. There's two and two is four. And you, Rooney, and three and one is four.
No, that's five minus one is four.
What I'm saying here is what Cisco said, man. It's what Cisco said and what Ray Leonard said, man. There comes a time and they
about
Ray the money.
I don't care what anybody else says.
It's just what you said. It's about the money.
I'm not going to cut myself down after what I achieved to touch Trump. Hold on, you can't blame Floyd. You're not getting that much money.
I mean, you can't blame Floyd either for asking for a drug test. Look at all the fighters that he's fucked.
Hold on, everybody, say hello to Mike Bellamy.
You started the level, so let me finish what I'm saying. Pacquiao, the last offer, Pacquiao says, I'll take 45 and you take 55. Now, where's Floyd now? He's willing to take 10%.
We have both agreed. Everybody has agreed that both of these guys have not done the thing to make this fight happen. We've also agreed that, as Rooney here said, is that, you know, the lust of this fight is gone. But you can't tell me.
I think it's done, Doc.
That it's always about the money. You know what I mean?
Michael Jordan showed us about his love for the game. Let me segue into a reality. I'm going to bring in the music. Bring in the music. Don't be playing no Latin music on this show.
Don't be playing no Latin music.
Come on, let's be serious and journalistic here.
I'm being serious.
I am serious. When you have a top billing in, let's say, the old Palladium, okay? The old Palladium, Tito Puente will not take second billing nor third billing to two other top guys, meaning Tito Rodriguez and Machito. He had to be the top dog. Okay? He had to be the top dog. Now, who made him the top dog? The public. But the other guy say, wait a minute, I'm just as top as he is. So what happens? They compromise on co-billing. So now, these are the two top guys in the country, Mayweather and Pacquiao. What gives Mayweather, well, I'm the
Dusty,
best? No.
I agree with
crap.
You on
he's
the co thing. What I'm saying
he's
here is
no,
that
no,
there
you
comes
know,
a time that it's not about
see.
The money.
What Dusty doesn't see is that the same way you could bring up stuff about Floyd Mayweather, the same thing you could bring up stuff about Pacquiao.
Exactly.
They're both in the force. Because Pacquiao would have took the drug test a long time ago. We would have had this fight, right? And if, you know, and if Floyd would have said, okay, you know, you take the drug test, there wouldn't have been this argument about who wants more and who wants less. You understand what I'm saying? Because then you would have known who's really ducking who. But the fact of the matter is, these guys know that either way, they're going to make $30, $40 million. You understand what I'm saying? Even if a guy makes $5 million less, so what? You understand what I'm saying? You're still making...
The point you bring up is the same point that Don King did with the De La Hoya and Trinidad fight. Don said, okay, you know, as what Eddie Mustafa did when he fought Marvin Johnson, I need the opportunity. So
Eddie Mustafa gave Marvin Johnson
everything he wanted to get him in the ring.
You know
once
what,
I get him
guys,
in the ring...
You know what both guys don't want to lose? Their position in the game. If they lose, they lose their position. They lose the ability to make millions of dollars. Their credibility goes down.
Well,
and especially if either guy gets knocked out. That's what either guy, both guys are making
okay, hold on.
Money.
Okay.
So they don't
hold
give
on.
A they don't
do?
Give a crap about what the public wants.
Mm-hmm.
They give a they give a crap about what they are making. That's pretty much it. And they don't want to lose that position, especially
well,
Bob doesn't want to lose to Floyd.
Okay, hold on, Dust.
Hold on.
We got another call. Mike Bellamy, who just joined us from the Bellamy Boxing Report, the sports director and producer of BCAT Sports, number one cable television in Brooklyn, and also the former producer, director of the greatest boxing show on radio, the Bellamy Boxing Report. Mike also is the first ever African-American quarterback in the history of Staten Island football. Mike, you hear this back and forth. You heard Dusty. You heard Cisco. You heard Melko. So, My point was, we're saying three things here. One, it seems Pacquiao and Mayweather is kind of out the window. It's lost its luster.
I think it's lost its luster.
Tired of hearing about it, man. They've been lollygagging too long.
Yeah, you know, it's almost, you know, if they fight, it's almost going to be like when Roy Jones fought Hopkins the second time.
Wait. Mike, the other thing, too. Everybody, we're going to let Mike run the show. The other thing, too, is you know, the back and forth. But I had said earlier that a lot of times, Ray Leonard, it's not about the money. It's about, you would think, one of the guys would say, you know what, I got enough money. I want to prove that I'm the best. And I talked about the fact that Larry Holmes, in two instances, because 10% of something is better than 100% of nothing at all. I mean, a blind man can see that. And Larry Holmes took less money to fight Jerry Cooney. And Larry said, man, you know, I'd have to fight four brothers to get this kind of money.
Right.
And once again, Larry took less money to fight Ali. So from a business standpoint of view, it is a good business decision, taking less money, but it's about proving that I'm the best, and this is what he did.
I heard someone say, you know, no one wants to lose their position anymore. I mean, Mayweather's the top draw in Vegas. He has home court advantage. All his fights are in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Who ever heard of that? When's the last time Mayweather fought outside of Vegas?
Atlantic City when he fought the last time when he fought.
5 years ago? 6 years ago?
Maybe longer than that when he fought Gotti.
So, he has home court advantage. He's not going to give that up. So there's a lot of factors, but like you said, you know, like I don't, you know, whoever said that, no one wants to lose their position.
Cisco said, and you know, the thing about that, all of us here are talking about that the fight has passed its time. But
I'd rather see him fight Sergio Martinez now.
Well, it's
long, man.
He's not going to come down to 54.
But that's what. But Martinez, you know, Martinez was in a very strange position now. I mean, I think Martinez has to go back to Chavez. At one time,
he had to go back to Paul Williams, but he did.
Yeah. I mean, because I remember, I think you were there, Mike. You was Dusty there. Cisco was there, and Dusty. I thought Dusty was maybe Dusty was there. But when he knocked out Paul Williams, and I remember.
Right, I was there that night.
And they were talking about, who wants to see another Paul Williams, Sergio Martinez fight? And they were 1-1, and nobody else, Pacquiao and Mayweather both said they weren't coming up. He said he wasn't going down. He had already beat. The fight he did that turned out good for him, they did wind up fighting Kelly Pavlik. But outside the Pavlik fight, you know, Paul Williams was the only viable fight that, you know, I mean, that made money for him. He beat Pavlik, but he hasn't done any world beating type fight. You talked about that, Dusty, how he was fighting the guy from Europe.
Imports. European imports.
Yeah, but
were you talking about Martinez?
Yeah. Coach, just go.
Let me tell you something. I got to defend Martinez on this. You know, Martinez pretty much wanted
Cisco, if you're not going to swing my way, maybe you better hang up now. You know what I mean? Go ahead, Cisco.
No, wait a second. Let me tell you something. We're at an age of in boxing where everything is about advantage. You know what I mean? You know, we're talking about steroids, and you know, you see how many guys that got busted, right? Since Floyd brought up the situation, and people mocked him and said
good
that
point.
He was scared and the whole nine.
Good
you see,
point. Good
all
point.
These guys are getting busted, right? And then we have catch weights, right? Everybody wants a catch weight because they want an advantage. Now we have another advantage where a guy comes in 20 pounds heavier than his opponent the night of. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Boxing has not become a fair sport. The only way they fight Martinez is if they have an advantage. Make the guy come down to 150 and you make the fight. That's pretty much it.
He's not
Martinez,
coming down.
Martinez is not, okay? He's in. Look, he would fight Cotto at 154, but he says if I fight Martinez, I have to come down to a catch weight of 150. I mean, are you kidding me? But you'll fight Cotto. You say Cotto's an undefeated fighter. The point is, the game is really that's why the sport of boxing is suffering. Because you know you got guys like Andre Ward who should right now be number one pound for pound fighter in the sport because of the challenges he's taken in the past 2 or 3 years and how he's gone out unscathed out of this whole middleweight tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So really, I mean, who's the pound for pound guy? It's not Pacquiao. It's not Floyd. You know what I mean? It's Martinez and Andre Ward, I'd say. You know, these guys have been challenging themselves.
And Andre Ward should have fought Chad Dawson for his light heavyweight, not Chad Dawson come down to his skimpy.
But Chad Dawson agreed. Win. Chad Dawson was the one that called him out on it. Chad Dawson made his. That was his choice. Dude, that was his choice. Andre Ward never said, come down and fight me. Andre Ward was in his position.
It's amazing. In other words, Andre Ward, Chad Dawson had a marked deck of cards and still picked the wrong card. I mean, only in America.
He picked the wrong fighter and he picked the wrong card. He decided to come down. He said, I can do it. I'll fight this guy at his weight. You know what I mean? I'll come down to it.
And you know what?
And he made a mistake.
He's absolutely dreadful trying to do it, too.
And not only that, you know, Mike Bellamy, you know, this is the second time, and I kind of didn't understand how horrible that was that coming down because when Roy Jones came down to fight Traver, that was the last greatness we saw. Roy came down, fought this guy, and he made us think it's all right to do that. And Mike, it's evident as Chad Dawson has been the proof that coming down is not the thing to do, Mike.
It's not always in favor of the fighter. But, you know, he came down one weight class, but Roy Jones came down from heavyweight, practically 196,
right.
You know what I mean, back down to 170 pounds, where he had no business doing that. And it weakened him. It changed him as
not
a
only that, not only, not only did it weaken him, but going to Mike Bellamy, let's go to Mike. Mike, not only did it weaken him, but also he lost his invincibility. There was an aura about Roy Jones. I mean, especially when he went from middleweight, then light heavyweight, and then he won the heavyweight championship of the world. There was an aura of invincibility. And I remember, I think, was Dusty there with me? Lady A was with me. Now, seeing Richard, Dusty might not have been there at this one, because Dusty might have been walking Roscoe, or he might have been jogging around the park, I don't know. But Nassim Richardson said something. He said, you know, because Roy had two fights, proposed fights, a Tyson fight and a Holyfield fight. And he said, you know, had Roy beat both those guys, which he would have beaten them because they were way past their prime. He said, I would have had to consider Roy Jones the best fighter of all time. Mike, your thoughts on the fact that, you know, Roy gave us a false sense of a guy could come down and still be all right.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, I agree with you on that. But as far as when you're talking about this Pacquiao fight, you know, the fact is, it's lost its luster because to me it's almost like the Hopkins and Jones fight. People were waiting for that rematch for years. for like, what, 15 years or so? And it finally took place, and by the time it took place, nobody really gave a damn.
Yeah, it was true. And that was another situation about money. And I remember
Roy.
Yeah,
that was all about money. And positioning. And I think all that really started around the time. Really, I think all that stuff started around the time Sugar Ray Leonard. That was
the
I think Sugar Ray Leonard started that era of positioning.
Oh, yeah. Harold Weston will tell you, Ray always had to fight that kind of. You know, things were his way, the gloves, the ring.
Yeah, the thumbless glove. Remember he fought the thumbless glove? He fought somebody with a thumbless glove one night.
Yeah, but I remember, too, the fact that, you know, the thing that Ray had going for him, you know, Ray Leonard was Ray Leonard. Yeah, Oscar. Sure. I mean, there are a few guys in this sport, as we look back. Doc Stanley Sports Up on the Blake River Rainbow Show, the channel Sports Up the show. Let's do a roll call. The Steno Baby Lois, Mel Cosell Smith Jr., the Cisco Kid has returned. C. Wings from baseball fame, and Mike Bellamy from the Bellamy Box Report, BCAP Sports. You know, it was a situation like you know, Oscar, Loren, Ali, four guys that automatically, no matter who you said, Duran, were going to fight. You know, the thing about Ray, guys, people came out to see Ray Leonard fight. You know, so no matter who Roy fought, Ray and Ray.
I mean, but Ali never fought from a point of positioning.
A guy said something. And that's why I've always said that Ali's the greatest of all time, because Ali fought all the best. And Lord Carroll, who was on the show with us last week, he said when guys fought Ali, not only did they make money, but they became immortal. Ali brought you riches and immortality. A thought about that. Everybody give a thought. Start with Mel Cosell Smith. Ali brought you riches and immortality. Mel Cosell Smith, elaborate on that.
Well, you know, Doc, you know how I feel about Ali. I mean,
tell us again.
Hey, Doc, you know how I feel about Ali. I just think the guy, as far as I'm concerned, with all due respect to the ones who love the Lewises and the
Ray
Robinson,
Marciano.
For my money, he's the greatest fighter of all time. For my money, as far as Ali. And he never, as your guest was saying, never ducked anybody, Doc. Never ducked anybody.
He never fought from a position, you know, of trying to gain something like Ray Leonard. Ray Leonard, he was the one that started this stuff to me. And it all started with
Ray Robinson used to do the same thing, though.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's amazing you said that.
Negotiate different situations and fights, too, you know?
Right.
As a champion, he always demanded the best. As a champion, Sugar Ray Robinson says, "I'm the champ. I get these conditions, or I don't fight at all." That's the way it was.
That's true.
And that's why the same thing with Sugar Ray Leonard. The same thing with Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yeah, but Sugar Ray Leonard was supposed to fight. Money, though. That's the difference. Ali made everybody money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he gave you money, but he also gave you the biggest headache after that fight because he beat you in two.
Yeah.
I mean, Ali was a difficult fighter. He was a fighter. He wasn't a henpicked type fighter that said, "Okay, I want to fight this guy. I think I could beat this guy." If you were good enough to get in the ring with him, he fought you.
Do you remember when he was supposed to fight Hagler? And then he said, "Well, I'm not going to fight him now because of my eye."
You're right. And then 4 years later, his eye healed.
Yeah. So
1 year later, he saw the Mugabe fight, saw that Hagler was slipping, and decided to fight him with that.
You know what?
Understand?
Hold on. Everybody, ladies and gentlemen, hold on. Doc Stanley Sports Up on the Blake Rainbow Center Channel Sports Up Show. I say this with pride. I say this with ego. You cannot beat the people I have here. These, you know, every time you do this show, you learn something. You know what I mean? In spite of that. But on the real side, Dusty, C-Wings, these are things you don't hear anyplace else because you can't hear anyplace else because nobody else knows it. Okay, here's what we just said. You know,
the thing is about that fight, too. I know a lot of people feel that Ray Leonard won and Hagler lost, but and that to me was also, I don't know, the first time that a champion, that a person that won the title didn't knock out the champion or didn't take it to the champion like before. and he set a benchmark where
that you no longer had to beat the champion to death. You didn't have to knock the champion out. All you had to do was have the right name on the right night. Because if Dusty remembers, Dusty, I know you remember. You probably was one of the guys in the gloves. But the Jersey Joe Walcott, Joe Louis' first fight, people, Joe Louis knew he lost the fight, went to the dressing room. They came and got Joe, and won the fight. Because as it was, you could not, if you did knock out the champion, you weren't going to get the title.
You weren't going to get the fight. Right. And this is what I was trying to segue into when Sugar Ray Leonard, that is, not Sugar Ray Robinson, Sugar Ray Leonard agreed to fight Marvin Hagler. Mm-hmm. He had to have the edge and everything.
Right.
It was supposed to be a 15-rounder.
Try.
Sugar Ray Leonard goes up to Hagler and says, look, I'm old. I just come back from retirement. I mean, no, really, this is the truth. This is,
Dusty was there.
I'll give you the extra money if you let it go only 12 rounds.
What?
Of course, yes. Look it up. Hagler said, no, 15 rounds. But then he said,
Is this the start of the 12-round title fight?
12 rounds.
No. Well, that's a good question. I wonder. I don't know if the Woods. I think they already had done 12. I don't know. That's a good question because
I think at that time you had a choice,
fellas.
With the 15-round fight.
Okay. Yeah, because Hagler had just beat Durant in a 15-round fight.
Exactly.
Right.
And
No. He had knocked out Mugabe.
What we're going to do, as we always do, we think we have enough time. We don't have enough time. So what we're going to do, what we always do, mic on, lights off. Larry Hardesty will tell us sayonara, and then Larry Hardesty will tell us whole launch again. Doc Stanley's Sports Up on the Black, but another Rainbow Soul Child Sports Up on the show. Don't anybody move. We'll be right back. Mic on, lights off, Sports and Death. They're all here. The Cisco Kid without Puncho, but he did bring the wine. And so you know they're a friend of mine.
Oh, man. This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Blake, ready to work Rainbow, so the channel Sports and Death is show. It is mic on, lights off segment, and all segments we open and close with a prayer. Open up with our prayer, and we'll be right back with the crew. Cisco Kid, join us again tonight, and we'll be back with that. Dear Lord, thank you for another day. Have your will, have your way. We, dear Lord, thank you for little things that so largely take for granted. And more importantly, dear Lord, we thank you for being our God and your darling son, our Savior. In the name of your darling son, Jesus. Amen. And with that, without further ado, we want to do something that he generally doesn't do. Mel Smith Jr., bring us into Mike on Lights Up segment. Sports with that, please.
I certainly will, Doc. I'm trying to hold the music. The Sports In Depth Nation is here. The Sports In Depth panel is here. Mel Smith Jr., I'm here. We're here via the Blake Radio Network, and the straw that stirs the drink is here. And that's Doc's family. Take it away, Doc.
Thank you, Rooney. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a lot of stirring to do, but once again, a lady has something to say.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com, music for your mind, body, and soul.
And
Doc Stanley, Sports and Dev on the Blake with an Epic Rainbow Solo Challenge, Sports and Dev of the show. One lady had something to say. Here is another young lady, and then we're going to take it away.
Check out Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best, featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.
Mic on, lights off segment. Another solid half hour left of Blake Radio on the Blake Radio Network, Sports and Death. And without further ado, we're going to get kicking again. We're going to let the man, who was the first ever African quarterback in the history of Staten Island football, the man who brought us the Bellamy Boxing Report, number one radio show in boxing, and the sports director, producer, and the superstar for Big Cat Sports. Mike, we got this, we're going to move another solid half. We couldn't stop here. Got the Cisco Grid back. You join us. You talk so much about how Ray Leonard turned things around. Okay, now, you know, can we talk about what do you think the impact's going to be on De La Hoya and boxing? You know, the Barclays Center, which is about, you know, you got 11 trains that go to the Barclays Center. I think the furthest one away is about 47 minutes. Will boxing do well in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center, in your opinion? And we're going to shoot that to everybody else here, too. Mike?
Oh, you're asking me, Doc? I think it's going to add a whole new level to the game, especially for local fighters, too. Hopefully, you know, fighters that are fighting maybe at Demetrius Salida's Fight Factory and also fighters like Saddam Ali, you know, who can, you know, maybe look forward to fighting on a big stage like at the Barclays Arena on Showtime. So, maybe that can be something.
Mike,
I'm
going to move to this. How much of an impact does it? And because the Garden, boxing wise, is really non-existent as far as having a boxing department. They've really become a place that you rent a fight. You know, Dusty's promoter, he takes his fight there. Cisco, Melvin, and how much? And you know, Seamus, I want to ask you a question too. does this impact Madison Square Garden boxing-wise now? I definitely have the feeling that it's going to sort of open up the what you talked about, too. Selena, the other little boxing venue. There's going to be, like, boxing clubs in the old days for the Barclays Center. Will this, in your opinion, have an impact on Madison Square Garden, or is the Garden still the Garden?
The Garden is going to be the Garden, but I think it's going to have an impact, somewhat of an impact. Yeah. I think the Garden is going to have to raise their game a little bit and not take everybody for granted.
You know, something I thought about real quick, too. Sea Wings, you know, what happened to arena football, Sea Wings? What happened to arena football?
I mean, it just didn't take off like everyone thought it would.
But was it a West Coast thing more so than an East Coast thing?
I just think it was a smaller market thing. Just the same as you saw, like I think Rooney would back me up on this, the WWE back in the day when they had so many different other wrestling federations, they kind of supplemented the places that the WWE didn't serve. The real backwood, low circuit wrestling circuits. And I think you saw that with the same thing with the arena football. Yeah, I think it
would
be for smaller markets.
You still have an indoor football league and various leagues, but not the, like you said, the arena football as it was before.
And now we also got the ladies league, that lingerie league too, don't we?
Lingerie,
yeah.
Some of the. So
what you're saying that it is basically small market? Was that because the big cities didn't enhance it, or better still, it just didn't seem to be a moneymaker, Mike and Sea Wings?
I think it's a combination of both.
Yeah. Really?
I just think it didn't take off. I mean, you had, I can't remember the name of the league that I think Rooney will probably can best answer this, But I think the chairman of the WWE, Vince McMahon, was behind a football league as well. It only lasted one season.
Yeah, good job by you. See, yeah, he did try. It was like the U.S. USFL or
United,
something
like that.
United, something like that. Yeah. And you should mention that, Doc, because as I told you earlier, and I think C Wings will take note, that WWE creative was looking for a way to get into Barclay, and they indeed have. I believe they have a show next month coming to the Barclay Arena in Brooklyn. Because I told you they're looking to get an exclusive for WWE.
Yeah, well, Madison Square Garden is definitely have taken note. I believe they were in their second phase of reinventing the garden. I think they did a lot of work to it. I think there's one more phase left.
Yeah, they've got a big walkway now. They've made the arena so that the hockey fans are a lot more closer to the action, and I think they got to get that thing done pretty soon. The NBA season is going to start pretty soon.
You started the round robin of comparing the Barclay with the Madison Square Garden. I just happened to flip the channel there, and there was a big interview with a Madison Square Garden general manager of how, yes, they began to feel the pinch of the Barclay.
Really?
And that's why I think, see, where you just finished saying it, how they're upgrading and promoting and signing up almost the same people, hold on to your hats, that the Barclay has already signed. And in other words, it seems to me as I read it that the Madison Square Garden is beginning to feel the pinch of rivalry, of losing the customer from Manhattan into Brooklyn. But the guy did say diplomatically, he says, well, we can both peacefully coexist, you know. And I've walked around there, and it's a brand-new city. I mean, the businesses are thriving. The restaurants are thriving. It seemed like it gave downtown Brooklyn a brand new life. It gave it a lift. I'm not too far from there, Doug. Right. And I have to tell you that the Garden is feeling the pinch in the sense that they're feeling the pinch of losing all the customers. What's the problem with coming into Brooklyn? New arena. What did they say? Yeah. That's about 17,000 or so.
18,000.
18,000.
18
no.
for basketball, and they can do 20 plus for a concert.
For
like I said, Jay-Z
opened up the place.
They
exactly
got WWE if they can do 20,000 for a concert, they can do 20,000 for a fight.
Exactly, and this is what I'm saying. Understandably, there probably will not be any problem with the people saying, well, instead of the Garden, let's go to the Barclay, and because it's right downtown
Dusty,
Brooklyn.
You said it about Damien. Damien is 20 minutes away from the Nets, as opposed to an hour and something to Jersey.
My son already has the season opening tickets to the Brooklyn Nets.
Doc,
I don't want you to lose the fact that the Nets open against the Knicks. So they're all going to come to the Barclays.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be the end thing. Well, you know, I think Harold Weston said it with a jaundiced eye that, well, it'll be a novelty, then it'll wear out. I don't think so. It was dying in Brooklyn for a long time. Now, to segue into something else, right now, the casino here in Ozone Park where I live, they started a boxing show over there. They figure out who the heck. Man, there were 2,000 people. It was so successful 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, of local kids from Ozone Park, and there's two professional gyms here. The place was jammed. And they expect to run every other month or every 3 months a boxing show.
What is happening there, you're having another little boxing club that's building up where their fighters can go to the box.
It's basically a revival because Demetrius Salida, he has local fights. out in Canarsie. Also, Saddam Ali fighting at the Aviator, October
27th.
Exactly. So,
quickly, you talked about that gym. Can you tell me
like
about that
minor leagues to the big arenas?
It's some way Sunnyside Garden, St. Nick's coming back. Mike, can we talk about that gym that opened up that we may think could be a great place for the Nets to practice?
Where is it? Lafayette and Kosciuszko?
Lafayette and Kosciuszko.
It's called the Sky Domes, right in Med Sky, right behind St. Philip's Church.
Mm-hmm.
And several high schools are going to be playing games there. Brand new facilities. High schools, I think, maybe ASA Junior College. They'll practice there. It could also be a place for the Nets to practice.
And not only that, with them looking to get into the neighborhood, it's a great PR for them. It'd be a great place for the visiting teams. I mean, imagine the Lakers practicing there. Imagine the Spurs practicing there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, imagine Kansas City, Omaha. I mean, it could be a tremendous if they play it right. If they play,
yeah.
it could be an inbuilt commercial. That'd be out. That's just, you know, crazy.
True.
You know
true.
But you got to figure now. You know, Cisco, DiBella talked about how he felt sort of undermined by this West Coast move by De La Hoya. Now, does this leave him?
You mean East Coast move?
No, West Coast. Well, De La Hoya came from the West, and he's making this move here. He's a West Coast guy coming to East Coast. Now, does the Garden become more acceptable, more accessible, and more conscious of Lou DiBella and other promoters?
That's a tough question. I wouldn't say Oscar is really. I know he's primarily West Coast, but he has a lot of fighters East Coast and West Coast. He is, I think what happened is that the Barclay was opening up. He made a business decision to be the first promoter to grab that. You understand? That's pretty much what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as boxing is concerned, you know, boxing needs that life. And Oscar is pretty much, you know, a lot of people have been trying to keep the sport alive and trying to keep the sport thriving. And this is a way for Oscar to become the man. He gets the Barclay. He gets it as his second home. Something that Bob Arum and these other promoters haven't been able to do. You know, DiBella can't be pissed. DiBella should have opened, you know, should have tried his best to do something himself.
But Oscar has the credibility, but how long has DiBella been in the game?
You understand? DiBella was in the game when Oscar
so
was a
what?
Pro, when he didn't even
anything.
Have Golden Boy. You understand?
DiBella, with all the respect to him, is still penny ante compared to Oscar, who's established.
Yeah, but
fact,
who's that? That's not Oscar's
right
fault.
Now, the number one promoter right now is Oscar, is not top rank. It is
DiBella, Oscar who can do the red zone ticket. DiBella was the number was working for HBO. He actually did a lot of great things for HBO with Boxing After Dark and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that.
So,
you know, the guy had a business boxing mind. You know, the thing about DiBella that I see, I could be wrong, but what I see with DiBella is that he doesn't do enough for his fighters. You understand what I'm saying? He got Martinez for how long? And Martinez is still, you know, taking less money or trying. Right, he's still trying to find himself. And what does DiBella do? Instead of promoting the guy in his country, in Argentina, he's promoting the guy in Mexico. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The guy's not even Mexican. You know what I mean? He's not, and the guy wins big fights. He becomes a world champion. Instead of promoting the guy, pushing the guy here and there, you know, putting him in people's faces. You understand what I'm saying? He does absolutely nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Martinez told me directly when he fought Paul Williams a second time, he says, this has to be a pay-per-view. I don't know what I'm doing in Boardwalk Hall. And then,
mm-hmm.
secondly, he was forced to do a catch weight, and he hated it. Says, because they forced him to do a catch weight, I'm going to destroy Paul Williams. Man, was
mm-hmm.
he right? Of course he was
he
right.
Did.
And
but,
you know what?
But,
no,
but
the point you bring
is
that
Lou DiBella, I love the guy.
If that fight was a pay-per-view fight, with the knockout that he did, do you know what that would have done for him exposure-wise?
That is the point.
With that knockout of Paul, who was at that time, if you remember, Rudy,
numero uno,
if you remember Dusty, if you remember Cisco, if you remember
Mike Bellamy. At that time, Paul Williams was, are you ready for this game? The most feared man in the
world. Yes, he was.
Paul
yes, he
Williams
was. Nobody
laying on
to
the canvas,
him.
Knocked out by Martinez. What that should have done for him, publicity and money-wise.
But let me tell you, he fought Chavez. That's the only reason he got pay-per-view, because he fought Chavez.
Wow.
The guy's 30. The guy's 37 years old.
Wow. Yes,
okay, he's been world champion for about 4 years or whatever, three or four years, and he's been a top fighter for more than that. And he gets a pay-per-view fight now. Pretty much, he's coming to his apex of his career. You don't know how many fights he has left. You understand
right.
what I'm saying?
And
I mean, he still
right
looks good, but come on,
right
he should have been
idol.
That commodity
he's
a long time
yeah.
ago.
Yeah.
He's
okay.
Wait a minute,
guys.
Here's a question.
They have nobody to fight.
Oh, here's a question.
I'm going to tell you one more thing before I stop. One more thing. The reason why he never got signed with Golden Boy or with
because
they turned him down. They turned him away. That's why he said with the
exactly. The Golden Boy turned him down. Can you imagine that? And did you guys follow the cameras with him when he went to his dressing room after Chavez? The man was crying uncontrollably because of the fear of him losing that freaking fight. Nobody could tell. He sat in a corner, and Zaragoza, or Luskovich, his manager tried to console him. He didn't want to talk to anybody. He broke down, crying like a baby who lost his pabulum. That's how under pressure this guy is. And let me tell you something. God forgive me. I hate to see it, but he's going to leave the Bella. He's going to find the golden pail somewhere. Maybe
who?
Jesse,
but who?
I don't think so. You know, I'm just
golden
surprised
boy.
That I'm surprised that Golden Boy never signed him, being that they signed guys like Nate Campbell.
Exactly.
And Paulie Malagi after losing to
Hold on.
I don't understand that.
We're looking at this too. We're looking at this with Lou. And Lou's one of those two guys. I mean, okay, Cisco, why did Paulie Malignaggi leave Lou?
Because he told him to retire. He didn't want to. That's what I remember. Yes, I remember after the fight with Khan, I was standing outside with the Bella and Paulie Malignaggi. They were talking on the side. I could kind of hear them whispering. I mean, not whispering, but I could kind of hear their conversation. He wanted Paulie to retire, and Paulie, you know, pretty much at first he agreed, but he decided that's not what he wanted to do. He wanted to continue his career. That's why he moved up in weight, and he got signed by Golden Boy. He broke away from
Bella. He was not ready to retire. He was still young.
But you
got
one thing is Paulie owes his career to De Bella because,
yes.
I mean, even though I say one thing that De Bella did to Paulie was throw him in with Miguel Cotto, which was it could have been a career killer. And actually, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because really, at that particular time, he was not at that level, and he took a tremendous beating from Cotto.
Well, but hold on.
Actually, he had a broken orbital bone. So, somehow push him off that fight.
I think what happened in the Cotto fight, and Mike, I want you to come in. I think De Bella underestimated Miguel Cotto. Mike?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Cisco, if you're telling me if he didn't underestimate him, then you're saying what he did is that he threw. I mean, was he making that kind? I mean, was he threw Paulie to the wolves?
What do you think? I mean, think about it. Yeah, think about it. The guy didn't. Paulie. I mean, he got like 5 knockouts at that particular time out of 3 fights.
Well, that could break an egg, Doc.
You know what I mean? And Cotto was that kind of guy that you had to crack him outside his numbskull to get his respect. You know,
Ronnie, what did
Paulie was not gonna do that.
I was saying, Doc, that hey, he figured with the Brooklyn following of Paulie, who's very popular, especially in Brooklyn, plus you got Cotto
from Brooklyn too, right?
Plus you got Cotto with his legion of fans here, and
Yeah, you're right, but because it worked out fine because it was a summertime Puerto Rican Day festivities. Cotto had been built up, and that's the thing about Cotto. And Mike, I get right to you. It was a new. See, the thing that I didn't like was the Cotto Sugar Shane Mosley fight, where Golden Boy came in. And they didn't treat the New York press the way they should have because it was New York press who made Miguel Cotto. I mean, us guys here in New York, I remember when they first brought Miguel here, they were talking, nobody heard of Miguel. Guy, hey, Doc, we need your help. And then, you know, Miguel, in a lot of ways, too, has this kind of little attitude sometimes toward the media. Well, I think he's changed now. But I didn't like that because,
I don't think
you know,
he's changed.
No?
No.
No? Oh, okay, well,
I mean,
hold on, Mel. Hold on.
Oh, go ahead. I'm not going to ask
you
that.
No. Mel, finish your thought real quick. Yeah, start there. Rooney?
He had a chip on his shoulder about the whole thing, Doc. I mean, that's something like it is. Cotto at times has a chip on his shoulder, man. And, like you said,
chip on his shoulder. He's a reserved person. You got to look at the personality. He's not a chip on his shoulder. First of all, he had a language barrier, for God's sake. Now he's learning English.
Oh, he can
before,
come on.
He
can communicate
now.
When he wants to communicate,
now.
Man. Come on.
And
he can communicate when he wants to communicate.
Mike Belling?
No, I'm just listening. Go ahead. I'm cool.
I will say this. Cotto, let me tell you something. Amongst the fans, people, amongst journalists, Puerto Rican journalists, that have interviewed, even guys that I've sat there and seen Cotto just brush them off. Cotto Cotto does not care about the press. He does not care about his fans. He will walk away from you. He can be rude at times. You know what I mean? I can see one thing being reserved, but Cotto, and actually he showed it to me one time when I asked to take a photo of a Mark Echo shirt he had on, and he kind of like rolled his eyes at me and walked away. I mean, Cotto I've seen him, he's leave a press conference. You know what I mean? His press conference he did recently,
yeah.
Over here.
You know what?
He was gone. Right after the press conference.
To dovetail Cisco, I think the turning point of, I don't know if Dusty, the turning point in Cotto was when he decided to fight the first Margarito fight.
I remember
we were there and he went into a back room. You know, everybody wanted Margarito to win that fight because he was there, he was accessible, but Miguel had just signed his clothing contract. And he went into the back room. And this, I'm going to say this one more time. I want everybody to listen to this.
23rd
Street. I got the floor.
Can I help you?
23rd Street.
Yeah.
Doc,
no, you were there. What I'm saying, Dust, and you've heard this a million times. Everybody here, if Muhammad Ali has time for pictures, autographs, and fans, than everybody else should, because Ali is number one and everybody is a distant, with the exception of Jesse, Joe, Jim Brown, second. But
you got to understand personalities, Doc. And, you know,
We
never had any problems.
There is no
excuse. And we BS.
Hey, Doc, can I interject real quick on something?
Yeah, hold on. Go ahead, Mike.
The Yankees are up 3-2 in the top of the ninth after a leadoff home run by Russell Martin. You have Raul Ibanez on base, no one out. So the Yankees are up to
Ibanez, that's the killer.
Derek Jeter's at the plate.
Okay, Derek, earn your mark.
He just hit
a base
hit.
But what I'm trying to tell you is that the person...
So Jeter has knocked in another run?
No, he just hit a base hit and moved Raul Ibanez to third base. So you have men third and first base, no out. Yankees are leading 3-2.
So all the ladies and gentlemen, live from C-Wing Scully here on Sports in Depth. You know, who needs John Sterling and Michael Kay? We got C-Wing Scully now, the old Brooklyn Dodger announcer, C-Wing Scully. And the Yankees are leading 3-2. Big game for them to win this game, especially on the road in Baltimore. I think it's very apropos that Baltimore did get into playoffs. But we all here once again are so happy to see that Dusty Baker is back managing and that he won against his old Giant team. And Dusty left there with class and character, but he was mistreated. Guys, manager 10 years, manager of the year three times, took them to a World Series, and the Giant management didn't do Dusty right, and then later on we saw how they did Barry Bonds. Here's a guy that made them what they were, and they couldn't find a contract for Barry Bonds. And in the words of our good buddy Harold Weston, sad and touching. But, you know, these things always seem to happen to people in color. I mean, you mean to tell me
I'm
going to
say something about a person of color just quickly before I forget.
Good, Winnie.
And I'm glad he was on this show, and he was awesome. I want you to get him back when you can, Doc. Can I have big ups now that you see what's going on over at the New York Jets, their lack of personnel, lack of everything? Can we please give big ups to Giant GM Jerry Reese, please? Can we give him big ups?
But you know what? It's like he's non-existent. I remember the thing with Jamie Harris, the quarterback. He threw a touchdown, and it was great blocking by Dusty and Mel Cosell, and Cisco ran a great route. And, you know, Mike Bellamy, he got no credit. I mean, remember Julius talked about that. And when I say Julius, if I'm talking about Julius, he said, you know what? Everybody got credit for the touchdown pass, but Jamie Harris. And he threw it. You know, everybody got credit for the touchdown pass, but Jamie Harris. And Dr. Stop
the
Sports Network. Go ahead, C-Wings.
Yankees are up 4-2 after chip shot bouncer up the first baseline by Ichiro. Brings in the runner from third base, a designated runner.
Hey. C-Wing Scully, cut the chip shot nonsense. Is the base hit? Chip shot up the
base
first
hit?
Base.
Line.
It was, he cheated.
It should go.
All of a sudden, you switching colors. You done went from jet green to Yankee. A chip shot down the first base line.
It was a cheat. It was a lucky bounce. What are you talking about?
Hey, Doc, can I make a quick point quickly? You know, we have a lot of boxing, all of our foreign reporters, but a lot of us are, you know, boxing people. Let me just say this in honor of the greats who are great pugilists who've done this sport. I never hear the names Matthew Saad Muhammad mentioned. I never hear the words for name for Alfredo Gomez mentioned. I never hear the great Lupe Pintor mentioned. I mean, these are guys that, you know, just deserve some due because they are greats from the past. That I never hear, and if I could think of any more people, I'll just kind of blurt them out as we speak. But I never hear these great mentions.
I'm going to tell you why you don't hear it. I'm going to tell you why you don't hear it because. I'm going to tell you why you don't hear it. You don't, because we got the new school in boxing. You got a lot of these guys that pretty much don't. Know
that's
the
right.
game. A lot of these guys, a lot of these journalists, I mean new journalists, I'm not talking about you guys that, you know, our guys. I'm talking about a lot of these guys are not a student of the game.
They have no sense
of
history.
They're not students of the game.
They've
been watching boxing for maybe 10 years or so.
Right.
You know what I mean? But they don't go back beyond their they don't go back to the days when we had Bo Jack, Ike Williams. You know what I mean? When we had, you know,
you don't
have to go that far back. How about Cornelius Posey Edwards? How about Bob
Chappelle? Quiet down. Rudy, I want to thank you for that because Doc Stanley, sports.com, my site, in my trust in God, sports artifacts, the first pair of boxing trunks ever donated to me was by Cornelius Posey Edwards.
Here.
And
he worked for Floyd Mayweather.
Huh?
He worked for Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He gave me the trunks with a I still got the letter. Here are the trunks, I promise you. Sorry. And you know what? Guys in those days had class. And you said something, and it's what we said also. The problem is not only the journalists, but the media people. The media people nowadays act like they're doing you a favor by giving you credentials. They have no idea who the people everybody knew Bert Flowers, and they know all the black guys from the white publications, but they don't know black guys from the black publications. And there's no bigger media for boxing in this world than the Latin media. And Don King understood that better than anybody else. And the thing about it, to a certain degree, it helps Aaron because he grabs Latin fighters, but these guys have no concept of who you, as a PR guy, you're supposed to know who the hell is in each and every town. But the point you make, Cisco, is not only is it the writers, because half the guys were doing the City Beat or some museum stuff 3 years ago, and now they threw them. I'll never forget a guy, as long as I live, great guy, walked into the ABA championship game, the Nets against they were playing at the old Nassau Coliseum. They were playing the Denver Nuggets for the championship. He walked into the thing and turned to me and said, "Are you ready for this guy? Which one is Dr. J?" Okay?
Yeah. Well, Doc, I can segue into that. I can segue into that. We had a press conference with Fernando Vargas was fighting Ricardo Mayorga. And lo and behold, I'm sitting next to this reporter. He says, "Who's this guy? Who's that?" I said, "Well, what media are you covering?" "Oh, I'm with the New York Times, and I just got this story that I got to cover." I walked him through the whole damn thing. And I gave him my name.
That's understandable. That's understandable because the guy doesn't follow the sport of boxing.
Yeah.
There's guys that don't know the sport of boxing.
You know, whatever you need any help, call me. I sent them a lot of my email stuff. To this day, I don't even know if what he looks like if I ran into him like a
I tell you, you know why, Dusty? Because now the New York Times doesn't even cover boxing anymore.
Well, this is what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah.
So,
can I suggest
to
a Yankee update?
Let me tell you something.
Hold on.
This is, okay, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something.
Yankee update. Yankee update.
Let me finish what I'm saying. A lot of these guys, Doc, we got to go to the Yankee update.
Hold on, Dusty. Hold on. Yankee update. Go ahead, C-Wings.
Oh, Yankee update.
The Yankees are up 6-2 in the top of the ninth after a two-run shot by Robinson Cano. Don't you know? He backed in Ichiro. He backed in Ichiro and Derek Jeter on a two-run double.
Two-run double.
Hold on. Good.
Robinson Cano, don't you know?
Okay,
wow.
So 6-2,
yeah.
Top of the ninth.
Top of the
yes.
ninth.
Okay, now the home run. Was it a line drive shot? Was it a towering? Was it just over the, give us the scoop here.
No, it was a chip shot.
It was a chocolate chip shot to left field
chocolate chip? V-Wing Scully, baby. Chocolate chip shot?
Because it was nice and sweet, like a chocolate chip.
Oh, God.
A chocolate chip shot. Ladies and gentlemen,
yeah.
Sports to Depth, mic on, lights off. You get it no better than you get chocolate chip shots. You get tricklers down the right field line. Who Dusty was going to say it really was just slapped down the line. You're going to slap
down
the
line.
Slap. You know what I mean?
But,
Mike, grab with me.
We're getting back to the media.
Hey, Doc.
Hold on.
Were reporters who covered community news, local parades,
the mayor's birthday, and all of a sudden they said,
"Look, can you cover this fight for us?" And he went, and they went down there and found the excitement, not knowing the business, of being the boxing writer, and that's how they became boxing writers.
I'm talking about guys who follow the sport, who write about the sport. You understand what I'm saying? Who really don't have that much knowledge going back maybe 10, 15 years. Because when you got guys talking about Floyd Mayweather and Pacquiao are the greatest fighters of all time, one guy wrote that Floyd Mayweather has a greater IQ, boxing IQ, than Ali and Sugar Ray Robinson.
Hold. Yeah, first of all,
Pacquiao went in eight weight classes, and the guy's been fighting catch weights. You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You know,
Jim Lampley has to be in that group of people. And see, that's the sad, and that's the one thing about boxing fans, and C-Wing Scully keep us abreast of the Yankee game. But the thing about boxing fans I always liked is that they're the smartest fans in sports. That's because they follow their sport. They have to do their own homework. And when a guy like Jim Lampley is sitting there raving about how great Manny Pacquiao is, then you know how sad and touching his intellect is. And then, you know, you look at, one thing that's never said, you know, it was Don King that started HBO boxing. It was Don King that put HBO on the boxing map. Don said when he first went to HBO, they had a little small office, except Abraham will tell you, all those guys, they're beholden. You never hear, though, how beholden.
No, you're right. You're right about that. You're right about that.
You never
hear
Don, and not only that, there was Don who made Showtime boxing because he went to HBO and told them, look, I know they had a $100 million deal for Mike. He said, look, man, we got no problem with the Merchant here, but we can't have Merchant doing Mike's fight. The guy's knocking him, you know, ringside. Mike's had a tough time fighting the guy inside the ring. And what did they say? they said, well, we can't do that. You know, like, once again, this little insignificant white guy is more important than the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. I mean, you know, I remember when Marv Albert had that incident and he got fired, and everybody talked about how unfair and how wrong they were, and yet O.J. Simpson got fired after being exonerated and found innocent. It was all right to fire, excuse me, the nigger, but you couldn't fire the white guy. You know, nobody understood.
What did my man Paul Mooney say? The color for the complexion for the connection.
The complexion of the connection.
I think I got it wrong, but he said it right.
Look how Mayweather has cleaned up his relationship with Merchant now, right? Did you see Mayweather after his last interview, his last fight? And then him and Mayweather were kissing up. I was like, what kind of shit is this? What is that?
But you know what angered me was the fact that Floyd says, I want to apologize publicly. I said, damn it, Floyd.
You know what's funny is? They had apologized before they actually did that apology. Someone I know had posted photos of them hugging each other before the fight. You know, before the fight actually happened. They just did it publicly. Floyd just did it publicly. You know what I mean?
Garbage.
You think so, was that because of the jail time, or was that before the jail?
I think he was in jail time. I don't know.
You know, who knows? Who really knows? Well, Floyd is a chameleon. You know, one minute he's like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. You know, one minute he's feeling sorry, next minute he's throwing money and he's in strip clubs and he's wilding out. So you don't know what. You don't know what you're getting with Floyd. Floyd is, you know, he could have been feeling, you know, now that he's going to jail, and he decided to apologize to the guy for cussing him out.
On the other hand, you look at Merchant. How are you such a professional is that you're talking about, you know,
absolutely,
if I was young, I would kick your ass. I'm thinking if that's Larry Hardesty, I'm thinking if that's Emmanuel Stewart, I think that's Roy Jones Jr., they don't have a job the next day.
They would have been suspended. You see what's happened to Antonio Tarver when he got busted for the steroids. He's not back in Showtime.
You haven't seen him.
I don't think he was fired from them. I don't think they ever even said that they fired him.
He used to be there.
Lennox Lewis, even though Lennox Lewis wasn't pumped, they never said that he was fired. They were going to get rid of Lennox Lewis. That's a fact.
Why?
Yeah, but Antonio Tarver
was
very
bad?
Good on the point. They
you know, there's
Antonio
a couple
Tarver,
of things
Gus Johnson.
That was going down there that they were, you know. I mean, Lennox Lewis is a real nice guy from what I know of. People that work beside him said he's a super nice guy. He's the kind of guy that, you know, you're nobody to him, but he'll come over and say hi to you from, like, across the room.
Oh, yeah.
He's a real nice guy. So,
inside, outside
so, the room. You know, I don't know what happened. Maybe he was late for a lot of his commentating, whatever he wanted to do.
And real quickly, Jim, let's all send
out.
He wasn't really that good at it anyway.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Everybody just send get well wishes out to Emmanuel Stewart. As you know, 2-3 weeks ago he was supposed to do the fight, and supposedly there's some rumors of cancer. Another rumor that he said it's not cancer. So we want to send good well wishes to him. Again, we send our wishes to one and only our beloved Dusty Baker. We're about ready to close. Vin Scully, C-Wing Scully, what's the late story with the Yankees? Can you give us an update on that?
It is now 7-2, the bottom of the ninth. C.C. Sabathia looks like he's going to complete this game. 7-2, he's still in the game. The Yankees open up with 5 runs in the top of the ninth. Yankees up 7-2. CC's still in the game.
Please don't take CC and bring Soriano because then we got a loss.
I got a question for you, and I learned this a while ago. Uh-huh. Who was the first black world champion fighter? Not the first heavyweight champion or first middle. I mean the first world champion, black world champion.
Is that the guy buried here in New York City, the Battling Siki?
Nope.
Okay, who was the answer?
His name was George Dixon. Look him up. He was the first
George Dixon?
Black. Yes, first black world champion.
He was like a flyweight.
He was like a flyweight or something like that. He was one of the little guys.
What year?
Ooh, damn.
1910, maybe?
19, yeah, it was way back.
That was the guy in Dusty's class. You should have known him, Dusty.
I went to kindergarten with him.
Dusty was doing myths with Moses.
Hey, listen. Dusty was the guy that told Cain, "Don't fight Abel, baby. Don't fight your brother."
It's like I was the referee.
Yo, Dusty knew Central Park when it was a plant.
Hey, listen, Dusty planned the first
Dusty
plant in Central Park.
Dusty's roast. Okay, I think.
Okay, we're gonna close it up, but we're going to be back tomorrow.
Well, you guys
with
are
funny.
We just
show
do Saturday Night Live. Go ahead.
This is Sunday Night Live, baby. Let us say
Sunday Night Live.
Gang, we're gonna close out, but we're going to be back tomorrow live from MetLife Stadium. We're gonna do a halftime, quarter show. So we'll be getting with you all tomorrow. Jets against the Texans tomorrow. Texans still undefeated. Jets took a hellacious beating. Yankees, since they're going to wrap up the first game of this playoff season, Tabasco's going the distance. Three thoughts. Live your life today. Have to stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others is the room you pay for your rent on earth. Jackie Robinson, life is not important except the impact it has on another life. Roberto Clemente. When you have the chance to do somebody, help somebody, and don't do it, you're wasting your time here on earth. I simply say from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all and trust in God. Rooney, tell everybody good night.
Doctor, the Sports In Depth Nation's been here. The Sports In Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We've been here courtesy of the Blake Radio Network and the straw that stirs the drinks. Been here. And that's been Doc Stanley. Thank you, Doctor.
Okay, gang. And once again, George Dixon, the first African American to win a world championship.
George Dixon.
The classmate of Dusty in kindergarten. And
I'm
the guy who would take Dusty's lunch.
I just looked him up. He was the featherweight.
Featherweight?
Black Canadian. Yeah, he was also Canadian.
I gotta go up to Wikipedia and see his
story. So he was a featherweight, and he wasn't a brother.
No, he was a brother. He was black
from Canada.
And one is from the story that I heard about him. He learned how to. He was the kind of the first boxer in a way. You know, like he wasn't really pretty much a brawler because he couldn't. He couldn't fight against the ropes because the white. You know, the white audience would beat on his calves and his feet. You know what I mean? Whenever
wow!
So he had to box in the middle of the ring to keep himself from getting hurt.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is why you listen to Sports In Depth, because you hear it no place else. I told you, Cisco came with our poncho. He brought the wine, and we had a good time. And he'll be back to what a blast. Mike Bellamy from the Bellamy Boxing Report, the sports director, producer, director of BCAP Sports, and also the first African quarterback in the history of Staten Island football. None other than the Cisco Kid is back. There's Daniel Baby Lewis. Well, you know him and Dixon were cut buddies. Mel.
That's
Smith,
right.
Jr.
Well, hangout buddies.
And C-Wings. Actually, C-Wings Scully now. A trickling shot down the right field line. Anything that anybody hits, if it's a rifle or right center field, Dusty, he slapped it into the corner. Everything's a slap with Dusty. Gentlemen. From the bottom of my heart, God bless you all and trust in God. Here's that great line for a woman. I no doubt deserve my friends. No. I no doubt deserve my enemies, but I doubt if I deserve my friends. And gentlemen, it is an honor and a pleasure to always have you here. But to others, I am somebody, and I appreciate you guys, love you deeply, and just thanks so much for making Sports In Depth what it is. I want to say hello again to Rosie in Brazil. Always thanking the First Lady of Sports Lady A and the First Lady of Blake Radio, Lady D, and our CEO and owner, the one and only, Mr. Neil Blake. Larry Hardesty has something to say. Gentlemen, don't move. Larry.
This concludes another edition of Sports In Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports In Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
With that, another segment of Sports In Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports In Depth for the show, every Sunday, 9 to 11 right here on the Blake Radio Network, and with special updates and features during the course of the week. Tomorrow night, live at MetLife Stadium, the the New York Jets football game. Well, C-Wings will be there live, and also the gang will be back with some halftime updates. And once again, historical facts. As you know tonight, George Dixon, featherweight champ from Canada, had to learn how to fight because, once again, good old America was beating on them legs and thighs. Bye, Stanley. From by my heart, God bless you all and trust in God. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you for being with us on Sports and Death on the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Soda channel. Sports and Death of the show from the by my heart. God bless you all and trust in God.
God bless.
Check out Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best, featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. De graça,